Today we're here to talk about stones, living stones. So I picked these up early this morning, washed them off a bit. They're in a thoroughfare where water can run. And these stones, they're just sitting there, but if a master stonemason can take these stones and fit them together in such a way with lots of stones that he makes a beautiful house that is sturdy and that will last for centuries. Today, we're looking at Jesus, our living stone, our cornerstone that we're built upon him, and we're talking about us. We are living stones before God. Before I go any further, I just wanted to remark that and thank the worship team for leading us into the presence of the Lord and leading us in declaring the greatness of God. But when I invited Andrea to come, we needed an interim worship leader. I didn't know that she was related to nearly half of the congregation. So that's just an added bonus for us, and we're thankful. Thank you for Andrea and also her husband, Bob, who's here this morning. So I'm going to focus on verses 4 and 5 and then skip down to verses 9 and 10, although the middle section could be a sermon by itself. The scripture starts off by saying, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him. Jesus came as a babe. The song says he brought heaven down to us, and he invited us then to become children of God. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Do we realize the fullness of this message, that each one of us has been given the opportunity to come to Jesus? Not a Jesus who is dead and buried, but a Jesus who is alive, a risen Savior who is our cornerstone. That means we can build our lives on him. He is sure, he is strong, and he is great and mighty, and he calls us to himself and says, come to me, everyone who is weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then it goes on saying, but you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. A spiritual house. And let's just think about that. Let's imagine each one of us somehow being fitted together. Like these stones, we have a master craftsman, a master stone worker, stone mason, whatever it's called, and he is fitting us and building us together to be a spiritual house. This is a wonderful metaphor. Now, one thing that's important that we realize is that he doesn't talk about bricks in this passage. If you want to bring up the next slide. Bricks throughout the Bible are usually a reference to slavery, to uniformity. It talks about people who want to rule and get people to do the same thing, to get people under control. It talks about it doesn't have creativity with it. It's simply expediency. It represents power of kingdoms. And again, slavery. But whenever in the Bible it talks about stones, it talks about them in a different way. Stones, unhewn stones, or stones that were never cut, were used to make altars. They were used to make the temple. They were used in buildings. And so whenever the stones are used, or the stone metaphor is used in the Bible, it's talking about uniqueness. It's talking about freedom. It's talking about being who we were made to be in Christ. In other words, we're a diverse people. We're very different. If you've met me, you know I'm a different kind of person. But there's glory and there's beauty in this. Because God wants to take us in our crooked ways. Some of us are stones that have chips on them already. He wants to restore us, but he takes us as we are. And he builds us together into something beautiful. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 27, you must build the altar of the Lord your God of unhewn or uncut stones. As we were singing earlier, we are made for freedom. We're made then to be unique. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in a Mennonite church. It was a fairly traditional church in the state of Missouri in a Mennonite farming community. And most of the time, you know, we just sat there. Church services were solemn. There wasn't a lot of joy. There was joy afterwards when we talked together. We had wonderful fellowship. But our worship service itself gave me an impression that we're called as Christians to be uniform. In other words, to be like everyone else. In other words, you need to conform to the ways of practicing Christianity in this life of this church. And it took me a while to find I needed to break free a bit from that. How can we break free of being too much conformed to religion instead of conformed to the likeness of Christ? Now, we talk also about not being conformed to the world. That's really important, but we also have another temptation or another pattern we can fall into is just conforming to the way that things should be done. And God wants to say to us, you are free. Now, we want to be obedient to His scriptures. We want to interpret them as a community, find out what is right, what is wrong. But in that, there's a tremendous freedom that the Holy Spirit gives to us to be fully who we are in Christ. Let's pray that God teaches us more and more what are our unique qualities and how can we express them in worship. One thing we hope to see is more and more people using various creative gifts in worship, but also in service as we go out, as we find ways, new ways of serving God, of sharing the gospel with others, sharing the love of Jesus. Let's remember we are stones and we're meant to be a little bit different than others, and there's beauty in that. Verse 5 says, you are also like living stones being built into a spiritual house. Let's look at the scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, 21 through 2 through 11, or 21 through 22, sorry. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now I love this passage. I've led worship a lot. That's something I'm very passionate about. I love to sing and I love to worship with God's people. And often when I'm worshiping, I envision this temple being built. And it says, then God comes in and he dwells in this temple. He comes and fills this temple with his Holy Spirit. It says he lives there with his Holy Spirit. This is referring to us. It says that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, but it's referring to us also collectively that as we are built together, we become then the spiritual temple, and God then comes in a special way and dwells among us. As what Andrea said earlier, God inhabits the praises of his people. So let's remember that as we're praying and worshiping, that something great is taking place. We are rising up as the temple of the Lord. And as we continue serving together, relating with one another, studying God's word together, doing life together, we are being the temple of the Lord, and God comes more and more and dwells among us with his presence among us. I want you to remember this word today, among. This is something we want to see grow and grow among us as our sweet fellowship, the power of God among us, something we cannot achieve alone. Or even if we're involved in church, but we're not involved relationally in a way that changes us, that molds us, we're not experiencing then this fullness that God wants to bring into our lives and into the body of this church. And we want to receive God's Holy Spirit in growing measure among us. We desire that this place, that God's presence is so strong that we are changed. And that people are drawn then to this well of life that God has made here. So Darren, if you want to come up. Darren is one of the guys that's in my 311 group. We started off meeting with Nate and Darren. Then a little bit later, Siva joined us. We've been meeting for about 4 months now, I think. And have gone through a lot of scripture. Nate now has started his own group with a bunch of other guys. And we're continuing on, hopefully adding one more to our group. But one way that we can be built together is simply gathering together around God's word and sharing. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. So like Tim mentioned, started with Nate and Tim and quickly joined by Siva. And participating in the 311 group has been a great experience for me. It has been a great part of my week. We meet once a week, meet a little early, 6 o'clock. And so that's the best time for us. But it's a great time to get together, to fellowship together, and to just share what we've been reading throughout the week. It's been great from an accountability standpoint for myself. And the fellowship has been exceptional. For a few weeks, we've had some things come up that hasn't allowed me to be there in person. And so this week, when I was able to meet in person, the feeling of being, you know, back with that group in person was something that, you know, I couldn't have said that I missed. But when I had it again this week, it really just uplifted me as I went throughout my day. And so, yeah, it's been a great experience. I would encourage everybody to, you know, look for a group or participate in a group. And it's, yeah, it's just been not only good from a you know, biblical reading perspective, but from a fellowship perspective as well.
Darren, tell us, how have you grown? How has this helped you to grow?
Yeah, so one thing that I think it has, you know, there's a lot of scripture that I would have said I'm very familiar with. And, you know, growing up in a Mennonite church and being familiar with the scripture my whole life. But spending the amount of time that we are spending in specific books of the Bible and taking a week and really digesting that has opened my eyes to, you know, scripture that I thought I was familiar with, but that I really didn't have as deep a meaning, as deep of an understanding as I'm gathering now. And so being able to reflect on that and to hear from Tim and Siva and Nate and to hear what the word is speaking to them has really, you know, helped to help me to go a lot deeper in the scripture than I have previously.
Thank you very much. So the goal of our group is to listen to the Lord through his word. We take a book of the Bible, we read it, and then we just say, God, speak to me through your word. And it's wonderful when a verse just all of a sudden stands out and you just sense, hey, yeah, this is a message for me. This is important. So that's the verse for me this morning to hang on to. And then I'm going to share that with my brothers when we get together. And then we also take time to pray for each other and have those beautiful relationships developing. So we're going to continually be bringing this to the forefront, our 311 challenge. And if you're interested in being in a group like this, just on our planning center or church app, you can go there and sign up, or just talk to me, talk to Tony Brubaker, a few others that are involved in organizing, and we will find a group for you. So going on in our passage, it says in verse 5, and again, keep your Bibles open. We're going to keep coming back to the scripture if you can. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Now we're getting to something really interesting. We are appointed to be a holy priesthood. Then look at verse 9. It says here that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, in God's special possession. Now, already this morning, a few people have commented on my shirt. I wore it once before when we had the Sensenics here from Chad, who are missionaries. I was given this shirt last fall when I was in Chad, and then I also wore it when I was in Ghana, and someone there pointed out to me and said, oh, see that little thing here? That's the king's stool that he sits on, the king's seat. So anyway, I wore this shirt this morning just to remind myself of royalty. Yes, I am a royal priest. We are all God's holy and royal priests. We're his chosen people, his special possession, and a holy nation. We need to take on this identity. I am called and appointed to be a royal priest before God. What is the role of a priest? When we look at the Old Testament, we see they offered sacrifices. They taught people God's law. But the most important duty of a priest is to minister to God. In David's court, we can read about it in Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles. They appointed Levitical priests who continually were singing and playing instruments, and they were prophesying before God. In other words, there was no audience of people. There was only one audience, and it was God. They were ministering to the Lord. As priests, then, this is our first duty, first and foremost, is to minister to God. Now, that sounds a little strange, doesn't it? God is all-powerful. Does he need us? No. But he loves us. And he loves it when we come into his presence, when we sing to him, when we proclaim his greatness, when we speak to him, when we commune with him. When we do this, we're taking on our priestly duty, our priestly calling to minister to our God. Now, a royal priest would be one then who ministers specifically for the king, to the king, taking care, but also helping that king in his worship before God, and is also someone who's brought very close into the presence of the king. So what this is saying here, as royal priests, we are invited into the very presence of God. We're called into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. We're cleansed, we're set free, and we're invited to come into his presence. And what do we do there? It says we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So again, starting with verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What are these spiritual sacrifices we offer to the Lord? Well, first of all, we offer our bodies. Last week, we talked about Romans 12. It says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. I think this is the most pleasing thing we can do to the Lord, is simply say, Lord, here I am. I give you everything, my whole life. I want to surrender everything to you. I take all my doubts, my worries, my fear, and I surrender them. I am yours, Lord. And then entering into that sweet communion of prayer, of knowing that God comes and blesses us. So we offer our very bodies as a living sacrifice. Then we make ourselves holy. We become holy by the work of Jesus on the cross to be a holy priesthood. In the Old Testament, the priests, before they began their duties, they had to be washed completely. They put on very special clothes. They were anointed with oil, and they were set apart from others. There was a sense of recognizing what is the uncommon and separating it from the common. How does this apply to us? When we're offering ourselves to God as a sacrifice, we need to realize we have to become uncommon. We can't just deal or engage ourselves with the ordinary things of life, but we're set apart for the extraordinary things of life that God wants to do in us and through us. So we take time. Lord, make me holy. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Set me apart. And I consecrate myself. I set myself apart for your work and for what you are calling me to be. We are made acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, washed, purified by him, made holy, without blemish, and without defect. And when we've gone through this process of just saying, Lord, I want you to make me holy, cleanse me, we can have the confidence that there's no shame when we come before God. He's not remembering our sins. He's not remembering our issues. He's not looking at us and saying, I'm disappointed in you. Instead, he's looking at us with joy because we've been made holy and he delights in us. Deuteronomy 10:8 said, at that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord and to stand before the Lord to minister and pronounce blessings in his name. Another sacrifice we bring is the sacrifice of praise. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, though Jesus, therefore, Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. So let's just think about that. How do we bring a sacrifice of praise to the Lord? First of all, it's saying, I am going to praise the Lord even when I don't feel like it. Our worship, we love it when we have talented musicians that lead us and sing beautifully, and we can sit there or stand there and be like, oh, I'm feeling it. That feels really good. Or we can also enter in, sing fervently, shout even to the Lord, and declare his greatness. Sing our praises to him and say, this is my sacrifice. In other words, we come together with intent. I'm going to enter into the singing. I'm going to enter into the scripture reading, the prayer with my heart. I'm not going to be passive, but I'm bringing a sacrifice of praise to our God. Our God who is among us then, in this we will know great joy. So the sacrifice that we bring to the Lord results in joy. It's encapsulated in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. When God comes and inhabits the praises of his people, it's a place of joy. It's a place of joy because we encounter his presence. As a holy and royal priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation, God's special possession, we encounter him. Worship is at its peak when it is filled with the heartfelt, throbbing joy of encountering the living God. Let me say that again. Worship is at its peak when it is filled with the heartfelt, throbbing joy of encountering the living God. That's our hope, is that we encounter his presence that brings joy into our life. It changes us. It makes us different. He's changing our thought patterns as we're declaring his greatness. He comes and he ministers to us with his presence. We fulfill then our purpose to declare his praises. Looking at our scripture, it's again verse 9. It says, but you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Here we see our purpose. God has made us priests. He's invited us into his presence. And there's a purpose in all of this, that we declare the praises of him. This is our mandate. This is our calling. God wants us to declare who he is. Would someone, just a few people, speak out? What are some of the things we can declare about God that describe who he is? Mighty. Faithful. Love. Gracious. Life. Healer. Amen. Comforter. Merciful. What happens when we declare these things? When we read throughout the Old Testament, I just find it amazing. When they're going into warfare, we're going to look at this in a few weeks, they declared the character of God. A lot of times they just would sing, the mercies of the Lord endure forever. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever, and the power of God would come. Why is that? There's a key if we look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 says this. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God's intent then was that through the church, his manifold wisdom would be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. And it says that this is his eternal purpose that he has accomplished in Christ Jesus. So this gives us a key. It says in the first scripture in 1 Peter, we are appointed to declare his praises as priests. And here it gives us another key, that through the church, God wants to make known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms his manifold wisdom. So this is something that we need to contemplate when we're singing, when we're fellowshipping, when we're serving, whatever we're doing with our lives, there are powers that are watching. We're surrounded by a spiritual realm. They're trying to take over our minds. They're trying to take over our lives, to drag us into sin, to make us be unproductive, to lead us into depression. But when we're singing God's praises, what happens? The darkness flees. When we declare the greatness of God, his character, his wonder, his love, his grace, and his mercy, the lies that the enemy is constantly trying to speak to us, they are dispersed. They are silenced. So friends, we see there's tremendous power in our praise. God has appointed us to be a people of praise, thanksgiving, and celebration because there's power in the words that we speak. When we speak about the greatness of God, things are happening in the spiritual realm. Wow. It's incredible. We praise God because his power is released, because it's what we are fashioned for. It says in Psalm 33, 1 through 3, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. It's fitting. In other words, it's the right thing for us to do to praise God. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. We praise God also because he is simply worthy. That's what we talk about as worship, is giving, declaring God's worth, of saying he is the supreme worth in my life. There's nothing I desire more than him in my life. And we declare it and we sing it and we minister to our Lord, sharing this with him. And as this is happening again, things are happening in the spiritual realm. Jesus said this as he was entering into Jerusalem. And people were crying out and shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He says, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. The same word that's used, lethos, in the letter to Peter. We want to be not the living stones that are crying out the praises of God. Let us not keep silence. Again, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. It also says that the Lord is enthroned on the praises of his people. And then as God comes and inhabits our praises, we are changed. Depression can be lifted off of you and the person next to you. That's the power of praise. And as we proclaim the truth of who God is and the truth about who we are as well, that's part of it. Then our thought patterns change, our outlook on life changes, and we are transformed and we are made new. How can we best declare his praises? I think that's different for a lot of people. Some people here are really challenged by, they love singing, but other people they express their praise maybe through visual art, through working with your hands, through fellowshipping together. These are all ways that we can express our praise. But let's find more and more ways that inspire us to praise him, that help us be fervent in our worship. Let's enter in with our whole lives. What praise is our God worthy of? Can we use all of our creative gifts and all of our gifts of service, saying, let all that is within me bless his holy name? I love the old song. It was sung a lot probably back in the 80s. It goes like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So today we are gathered here as the body of Christ, as his church. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to conquer death by rising from the dead, that when we believe in him and receive him into our lives, we are brought from darkness into light. We released from the power of the spiritual forces around us, the things that want to hold us in addiction, in despair, and God gives us life. So I pray if there's anyone here who has not taken the step of surrendering everything to Jesus, let this be your moment of saying, God, I'm tired. I'm tired of being in darkness. I'm tired of the sadness, the lack of joy in my life. Would you now take me and bring me into your glorious light? Would you make me holy, acceptable to you, Lord? Let me become your child and know that I'm under your protection. And Lord, release your joy to me. Today, as living stones, let us not be silent. Let us cry out to the Lord, praising him. Let's fulfill our purpose as royal priests, the chosen people of God, a holy nation. Let's be a people of praise, proclaiming and declaring how great is our God.